Hello and welcome to another episode of This Thing On. I'm Alex Petrovich and I'm here with my co-host Joe Foster.
Yes.
Producer Jay Gebby.
Hello.
And the fantastic Robin Hatcher and Sam Pichelli from The Noise Next Door.
Thank you very much. We are fantastic.
Did I sum it up perfectly?
Yeah, that's a good. That's a pretty good review.
Yeah, I like that. We'll put that on a flyer.
If our listeners are morons, and I don't want to say our listeners are morons. I love them dearly. How would you describe The Noise Next Door to them?
We are an improvised comedy troupe, so we make stuff up on the spot based on whatever audiences shout out, basically. But we're very much kind of, we're comedians who do improv rather than improvisers who do comedy, so it's very geared towards, this is funny. a lot of improvisers have an issue with us a little bit, because we will throw anything out of the window just to get a laugh. Like, we're pure entertainment, we're not here for ourselves to, like, be actors on the side.
People vocalise that then?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Many which is fine. That's other people in The Noise Next Door.
But yeah, so we play comedy clubs and alongside stand-ups. So we see way more stand-ups than we do improvisers. And yeah, we tour those shows, our own show as well.
I literally only found out from you the other night where the name came from.
Oh, well, The Noise Next Door. Yeah. This poor lady who used to live next door to us at uni. She was a booker for a theatre, actually. And so she got over the fact that we used to make a lot of noise to then book us for the shows. But she used to just pop her head over at like 3 a.m. after we'd been jamming on guitars and like maracas, like drunk as hell. And just over the, you just see this little old lady, clearly who needed a step to look over the fence. And you'd see, like, you know, in Home Improvement where you only ever see the top of the head. It's like that. And she was like, boys, it's 3 o'clock. Please could you keep the noise down? So we were The Noise Next Door, so it kind of it kind of came out of her, really. And we told her that a couple of years later and she was delighted. She looked less tired. Years had dropped off her at that point.
Her pain was well deserved. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she sees it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that poor woman living in the middle of a really student estate. Like you must have bought that house 30 years ago and then every year there's different annoying students next year. It must have been awful.
Well, there was a guy I like everyone good should like the Brighton Argus Facebook page, not for actual news, but the comments section is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
But there was a guy the other day who unapologetically said, if the students keep making noise like this, I am going to kill them. And that was the headline of the article.
I saw that. Yeah.
And someone in the comments below pointed out, because one of his things was, you know, if it keeps being this noisy, I'm going to have to move out of the area. And then someone in the comments was like, yeah, if you're trying to sell your house, maybe don't point out that the area's shit.
Or that there's a murderer next door.
It does, that's it. It does depend, doesn't it, on who you are. Some people are really chilled about it. Like, my girlfriend's really chilled about it, but then I am completely the opposite.
I took great joy when I lived in Canterbury for a number of years, and I took really great joy the first time. It was like 4 a.m, and I caught myself opening the window, leaning out and going, do you mind? As I did it, I was like, oh yeah, I've made it. Yeah. Really happy.
I think
really
I'm pretty chill. Well, I'm not chill, but about noise, but unless it's a real problem, and then it's like getting over that politeness to say something. And we had this upstairs neighbour in Brighton who used to scream at her children, like rattle the walls type screaming. And they were really young, like 4 and 7-ish. It was really awful. And we thought, like, who do you actually... You don't want to complain to her.
Yeah.
You want to complain to somebody. And we never did anything about it. And then one day we got this knock on the door, and my wife went to answer, and it was this woman, and she was like, you've called social services on me. How dare you? This is the 7th time this has happened. It's ridiculous. And I've asked everybody else in the building, and they said it wasn't them. So I know 100% that it's you. And my wife's like, and then this woman just walked off. So Charlotte shut the door, came in and told me. I was like, that's unbelievable. I was also like, if that's happened 7 times, you're the problem.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
5 minutes later, knock on the door, I answered it, hello. She's like, I'm so sorry, I've just got to the bottom of the... I don't know if you heard the little argument I had with your wife. I'm very sorry, it wasn't her that called the social services. I was like, so are you apologising? Yes, I probably should.
Really?
And I just said to her, yeah, if this has happened to you multiple times, you're the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah,
no, definitely.
Really sad, really sad.
Plus, people lie. Why does she think everyone else
yeah, exactly.
is
honest? Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, no, I didn't do that, and then just go and watch TV.
I thought the rest of those people in the building, I was like, you bastards. Yeah, yeah, just because ours is the lowest build, like lowest flat down, we got the
yeah, because one or two things have happened there. Either she's gone through every other flat and they've just said, no, more than us, or she's gone through every other flat and they've gone, yeah, the people at number one, don't trust them.
I saw them do it.
Yeah.
It's really bad. We once had like a Macmillan coffee day, and the kids came down like with this little pocket money just like in a little purse. I was like, oh, where's your mum? We don't know. She, upstairs maybe. Are you here with anyone? No. And she just sent down this like and it was really nice that it's like, oh, you've come to contribute, but like you've sent the children down.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's just give them a nice time for a few hours. It's really sad.
And then one day you'll be sending your own children now and going, just get me like a brownie.
Nothing with coconut.
We really were, because it was like loads of face painting and like balloon kind of stuff. We were like, oh, we'll send them back up, and they got paint all over them. We just imagined like they'd go back up in this paint and be like, what the hell is that?
Nemo? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, it was just really sad.
It's taking a dark turn for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
I love. I will reach a level of sort of Victor Meldrew pettiness where I left Timber Yard, I used to live next to, a 1-star Google review. My girlfriend was like, you're pathetic. And I was like, well, they've got to find out something. But like, basically, they just were like starting at like 6 because they don't care. And it was right outside our window. And I was told that I wasn't allowed to shout at them, so, because then they'd know who it was. But she was like, if you can find something anonymous that you can do, and I'm not proud of this, but... And actually saying that, there was a guy I knew who owned the top flat, and then he was selling it as I left when we moved out. And that house is still on the market, and I'm not going to say that that's definitely my fault, but they would bring the... If you would do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I love a Google review. Me, I love them. There's a company in Brighton called Brighton Logs, or like it's a log salesman who lives in Brighton. And me and my housemate are obsessed with the reviews because they're either 1-star or 5-star. Nobody thinks these are middle of the road logs. There's loads of reviews that are like 5-star, great logs. Yeah, like, well, it's perfect, isn't it? So we're from a log company. Another one, 1-star. Damp logs. Like, oh no, this is awful. Oh god, smoky living room over Christmas. Oh god, no, dreadful. I love it.
1-star, more of a twig.
Great logs, brilliant.
And then damp. That's brilliant, because that is the only two ways that can go. I think people should put the thing in there if it's like
3-star, as expected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes logs are damp. Someone a bit more chilled out.
I think I was saying this to you recently. Did a gig in Liverpool, and I booked a hotel, but I did research, and the reviews were quite good, but I didn't actually read the reviews. And I think most of the reviews were left by like stag doos. So it was like 5 minutes from the train station, 5 minutes from the gig, and like when I got there, it was above an Irish all night live music venue.
Amazing.
And I got there, I was like, it's quite loud downstairs. I mean, it's all right, don't worry, because the band's going to stop at 2 a.m. I was like, oh, that's a relief. I thought they were going to be going all night.
Yeah.
And they gave me earplugs, and earplugs do fuck all when your bed is vibrating.
What kind of music were the band playing?
It's like Irish folk music.
Well, this sounds, do you know what? You are a stick in the mud.
I should send you off to sleep in the
mud. Because it's always so lonely, isn't it? But you had somewhere to go.
I'll just go and have a Guinness with these lovely people downstairs. No, I shall return to my room and complain about this.
Was it an Airbnb?
No, it was a hotel.
Was it a hotel?
I went clubbing on the Sunday with some other acts from the gig.
You went clubbing on a Sunday?
Yeah.
You renegade.
Yeah. To a 90s pop club, just because I was like...
Yes. Oh, well, that's the only one anyone can do anymore. Yeah.
So it was either that or just...
90s, 80s. That's it. Brilliant.
I just liked how when you were up there at like 9:30, I got a message on Facebook from Alex like, where can I get earplugs at this time?
Mate, Boots earplugs, that's the one. In Edinburgh this year, we had a flat that was directly above a pub, and the pub was all right, but mine and Sam's room in particular backed onto a courtyard, and in that courtyard there was an extractor fan which ran from 6 in the morning until like 2 in the morning, and it smelt of chips. Not like the nice, delicious chips, but like the oil chips are cooked in, and B, it just made this like... edge for like all day. So honestly, the Boots silicone earplugs, listeners, if you're interested, those are the ones.
And you couldn't get, there was no way of getting, what courtyard do you mind us?
It was so it was directly above a place called Deacon Brodie's on the Mile. And like, right. I don't blame Deacon Brodie's, they need to cook their chips. I love chips.
Yeah.
But I do
yeah.
not like everything I own, yes. and including my skin smelling of chips.
Oh. We like bought stock in Glade air stuff. Oh,
the smell of air fresheners now reminds me of that. It makes me feel a bit sick. Like whenever I smell particularly like one Glade like plug
in
air
photos,
freshener.
This place looked incredible. And then we got in there and it was just disgusting. And in the kitchen didn't have any windows, but it had an extractor fan. But there was, oh, it was disgusting. There was actual grease dripping from the lights. And I just found out, we've gone through the same letting agent for like 8 years or something in Edinburgh. And so really nice, and they sorted stuff out really quickly. But I was like, you know that I'm not lying when I say these things are an
issue.
And like, I was like, you need to pay someone to come in here and clean everything. Because even the stuff had like,
stuff
that hadn't been
it?
Used in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just had like oil on it. Oh, it was foul.
Yeah, it was gross. It was also definitely a brothel at some point. Because like, you walked in the first room, you'd walk through, first of all, like, it was amazing. Like, you walk into this really, really lovely living room, which was really, really nicely laid out, right on the mile, beautiful views, like, you know, wallpapered, which, believe me, was more than what happened later. Like, just, it was just really nice.
Sectioned off from the rest of the house, like a reception room might be.
Yeah, and then you walk down an L-shaped corridor and into... I mean, three of the rooms didn't have any natural sunlight. It was unbelievable, and they were like cells, weren't they? They were like tiny little cells with
so
like
no windows.
No, there were windows, but because they were in the courtyard,
there was no sunlight
in the courtyard. So it was awful. I just spent the whole of Edinburgh just perpetually unsure what time of day it was. Like it just like a vampire.
I mean, Edinburgh's a bubble enough as it is.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The grief I would have got if my girlfriend had come to visit me on the third week, and there I'd been staying for the whole of Edinburgh in a room with no windows, because how disgusting that room would be.
Well, I mean, luckily,
and it's right, you know, everything.
Luckily, I mean, my room didn't smell of like my unwashed body; it smelled of chips.
Yeah,
which also my body also smelled of. By the end.
The smells merge. Are you willing, as so? Say, for instance, because of all the joy that chips have given you over the years, are you willing to take one for the team? Or do you still feel like, no, that was hell?
I mean,
I get that you're angry. I understand.
Listen, I would eat chips again. Sure.
And I have
to. I've eaten chips. I like chips.
I'm just trying to think if I had them today. No, I haven't.
You're eating them now.
But yeah, it was pretty bad. That pub as well, Deacon Brodie's, is such a good pub. It's got so many amazing whiskies, but just out of point of principle, no, not this year, Deacon Brodie's. So,
do you get flashbacks when you walk past...
It's such a unique smell as well, because it's not when you're in a pub or even in a kitchen, it's when you're
outside
where they're being cooked and blown out to you. That has happened to me a few times, actually. Normally like an alleyway, you're walking down and there's like a fan blowing your face.
Isn't smells like one of the biggest triggers for a memory?
Yeah, it's insane, isn't it?
Anytime I smell Bonfire now, I get nauseous, because I think it just makes me feel hungover at Reading Festival where everything's on fire. I hate Bonfire. I cannot stand Bonfires now.
That's why when, you know, like, if you've ever gotten drunk on something, like way too drunk, and then you just like, I can't even, like, tequila does that to me. I'm like,
Southern Comfort.
That was my drink as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, me too, but I already overdid it.
When I was 17, we went on a history trip to Russia.
Cool.
And now vodka is off limits.
Yeah.
I actually did something very shrewd when I was about 14, which was to get
hooked on heroin. And now
it's fine. It's just something I live with. But like, I got really so drunk I threw up off martini. Which is a really great technique, because you're never ever going to drink martini again.
Yeah.
And you're never going to have a situation with martini. It's like not come back in.
Not in my household.
Maybe we used to love a vermouth. Oh yeah, martini, Cinzano. Oh yeah,
there's bound to be a cycle. So it will. But at the moment, I'm all right. But one day,
is there anyone that you won't go near, Jode?
No. Actually, Malibu. I would say that smell, and it is that same thing with Southern Comfort. It's that really sweet smell. But to be honest, everything that I drank loads of, I got over, and I drink loads of
that. Push through it. That's another
thing. Get over yourself. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not a big fan of aniseed, and also the one I haven't had it again since, but
Have you heard of the cider Old Rosie?
Oh, yeah.
8%.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to convince myself that I was giving up beer. I was like, well, cider's healthier. It's not. And I was in a music venue for like, it was like a 4-hour gig. And it was like, we were there for the whole night. We were seeing all the bands. And the only cider they had was Old Rosie. So I had about 8 pints of that and a few shots. And I was so violently ill. When I threw up, I burst all the blood vessels around my eyes.
Oh, no.
And this was like day 2 of a 3-day visa. So the next day, everyone was like, "What happened to your face?"
That's amazing.
So I should point out, Alex is injury prone, which is a really kind way to say. But like, you have injured yourself in so many different.
Yeah,
I would say never skateboard. Never even go near a skateboard.
That's why I can't ski. I just.
It's you, isn't it? That's your vibe.
I'm currently on a referral for sleep apnea now as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
I've got that, but it's undiagnosed. I think Alice just sort of doesn't point it out.
Please
don't stop breathing.
Sleep apnea is where you just forget to breathe for a little bit.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Last Man on Earth?
Yes,
that's really good. She's one of the characters who's got sleep apnea and then just has to have this huge machine to help her breathe, which isn't funny actually when I say it out loud, but in the context that sounds really awful, but in the context of the show it's very amusing.
How do you know that you have sleep apnea? Because you don't, you are a self-diagnoser, and have people told you that your breathing is
just had a hunch?
There's more to this.
Had a hunch.
Just wake up and go, I feel a bit out of breath. I must have sleep apnea. That's the only option.
Do you know your doctor's first name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doctor.
he knows me pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm really good at getting, like, if I get ill, like, I get, like, proper fucking weird illnesses. Like, I had, what's it called? It's a skin condition. Oh my god, what was it called?
Psoriasis or something?
No, it's something worse than that. Impetigo.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And I just turned into a zombie for a few days. Like, your face goes like crispy. It looks like melted cheese on top of your face. It's honestly disgusting.
I put it on my eyes.
On your eye? Not
on
your.
No,
I didn't know what it was for ages. I just thought I'd cut myself shaving for a bit and it got infected. But then obviously it spread so quickly.
Yeah.
So like, I had it from sort of like my left ear all the way down sort of like the corner of my mouth. Like half my face was just, I looked like Harvey Two-Face from Batman. It was awful.
Yeah, I don't get many injuries. I get all the illnesses.
Oh yeah, you're
swine flu.
You had swine flu?
Yeah, it was horrible. It's the only time I ever felt, I think I'm going to die now.
What?
Trying to go to the toilet and physically not being able to get, like, just trying to crawl out of bed. And I had an ensuite and I was just like, I can't get there. My body just wouldn't move. It was fucking
I mean, obviously you'll never know. This is a stupid question, but were you, how did that happen? Do you know?
I don't know how it happened, but
were you in the UK? I mean, I know.
Yeah.
Were you in the UK? It's the most racist question anyone's ever said. But like, you know.
Were you in a foreign place? Bring it in.
You might be in other places where they got loads of swine.
Yeah, I don't know where you actually caught it from, but in terms of like, dealing with it, you have to quarantine yourself. Well, the doctor tells you to be quarantined, and then you have like a runner, like a drug runner. So you nominate someone who could feasibly get it with you as well, who doesn't have it yet. So they go and get all the drugs for you, bring them back, and they're the only person who can like be in your vicinity, and then they can't be in the vicinity of other people.
Who was your runner?
My girlfriend at the time.
Oh, because then you'll come out of it, and then they might get it, but then
yes,
you're
potentially.
Both.
Yes.
Okay.
But then you've okay.
Yes. And then you presumably can't catch it again, I guess. It was awful. I mean, it was amazing for weight loss. Really good. Yeah, I definitely recommend
that. Is it? But it's an old smoothie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tonsillitis did that for me.
It's actually weirdly handy.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
I don't have any tonsils. I have my tonsils removed. But when you're young, they anaesthetise you really, really minorly. And I woke up just before they started cutting my tonsils out. Like literally just like, and they were like, oh! And like, they legally had to tell my mum. Actually, they were like, something went a bit wrong with him.
Did you want him conscious or unconscious?
Yeah, because like, sometimes obviously you've like, you anaesthetise a kid too much. I was like 7 or something. I was really, really young. But yeah, I don't remember it at all, but my mum tells me the story about apparently I was just like, I just remember there just being some, like, as soon as I woke up, I just remember some stuff. Like, I think it must have been dreams or whatever. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then later that day, a sheepish doctor walks into the room like, hi, Mrs. Hatcher. We need to chat.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, isn't it?
Plus, when she asked you about it, you've got to tentatively step over that, don't you? Because you have to ask about it. But
yeah.
You don't want to then pay thousands of pounds for the therapy, like years. So you don't know, like, so how was your operation? Did you tell her, did you go, oh, by the way, by
my
the by?
Like, yeah, my mum was like, how was it? I mean, I don't know. So first of all, I'm like viciously allergic to anaesthetic. I learned on this particular experience.
Horrible.
And like, it just makes you, like, it just makes me have a horrible reaction. I'm really, really bad for it. I mean, sometimes, like, it's unavoidable. Like, I need my tonsils out. That was that, really. But so, like, afterwards, my mum was like, well, how was it? Like, tell me how it felt. And I was like, it was awful. Like, you know, I sort of explained everything, like, in the best way a seven-year-old kid could. And then I sort of, like, was like, I remember loads of stuff from, like, after getting anaesthetized and then before waking up. I remember loads of things. She was like, well, probably dreams. And I was like, yeah, that seems like a problem. It seems more realistic. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, shut up. It's dreams.
I was such a little pansy as well. I really remember, like, the nurse came in and went, I had a drip. And the nurse was like, right, Robin, we're going to take the drip out now. And I wouldn't let her do it. I was running around, like, scampering up and down, like, all over the bed and stuff. She was chasing me around. I had the drip, like, holding the metal bar because I just didn't want her to remove the thing from my hand. Such a loser.
Oh. I don't know if I've woken up in hospital with those in before, not knowing how I got there, and I just yanked them out. It was, don't do that. I don't recommend it.
Oh,
I was like
in a film.
It was, yeah.
Yes,
or a BBC
yes, drama.
Like, yeah,
they do it like
disgusting.
What was that? Was that being Boozy Sam?
Yeah, it was Boozy Sam time.
Boozy Sam time.
Yeah.
You're like Luther.
I wasn't. I ran out of the hospital in just a gown.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, this is intense. Sorry,
yeah,
I was really.
Did someone grab you and bring you back in?
Not until I got back. So I was at uni at the time in America, and I got back and I just went and had lunch in the cafeteria.
In the gown?
In the gown. Just in the gown. I'm sitting there, and then somebody came and found me, and I was like, and that was when I realised it wasn't a dream.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
that is such vintage Pacelli.
Yeah,
so vintage Pacelli. That, like, you were dreaming and you dreamt, and the first thing you thought you were dreaming, the first thing you think to do in a dream is go and get lunch.
Yeah. I know all fixes. Sloppy Joe's.
I had some granola.
What you were eating, it was actually granola.
Yeah.
The amount of times I wake up after a real messy night, I go, oh, you know what, let's just fix this, a bowl of granola.
That's halfway when I'm coming around from anaesthetic, halfway where's my granola?
Granola in the States is good, man.
Yeah,
really nice. Yeah,
not like a fistful of gravel like it is over here.
Honey and stuff. I remember, like, memories are really linked to me with food. Like,
yeah,
that's how I remember. It's like when we're like, oh, that gig was really fun, wasn't it? Where was that? Nottingham. Oh, I don't remember it. We had burritos. Yeah, that was good. It's really, really sad.
Did you have quite a happy walk then in retrospect because you didn't know what was going on? You were going to get some granola, it was all good.
I don't remember the walk particularly. I really remember eating it and then somebody coming up to me and then the realisation of I am fully naked apart from a gown. I really remember that. And still, like, some, like, blood coming out of my wrists and stuff. Like,
oh,
I really remember that part.
You must look like a fucking lunatic.
I was really white because I had my stomach pumped and, like, really awful.
Well, you better fill that up with some nutritious granola.
I love the way they went as well. Just let him order.
Yeah, how did you pay?
Granola. You should be in hospital.
You kind of paid on, like, a card. I wouldn't have actually seen anyone, I think, because you actually, like, pay on, like, a card, like a union card or whatever, and it just bills you.
So you didn't do that. So you're not only are you a hospital escapee, you're a thief. You nicked.
No, I put it on my student card thing.
Did you have that? You were naked, only wearing a gown. What was that?
That's
a really
from?
Good point.
Yeah,
I must have just nicked it. Yeah.
That's on tape now, mate. In the
unless it was just, like, included. Maybe it was a cafeteria that was
included.
In your price, in the price.
All hospital escapees get free granola. Hospital gown day, yeah. What part of America was it?
Oh, this was in Milwaukee. It was not good.
Oh, right.
It was not good. I came home pretty quick. Yeah, it was like a kind of exchange, like you're abroad, and I just got there, and within 2 days I was like, I have made a dreadful mistake. The level of education was so much lower, and I was I am here to study. And that's why I ended up drinking loads, because it was just, there was nothing to do. The classes were the first, so I was doing a drama degree, so, you know, done GCSE drama, A-level drama, then, you know, a few years of uni drama, and then you get there, and it was drama 101, and the first thing was like, she was explaining what upstage and downstage was, and I was like, well, okay, that's weird. That's okay. And then the first assignment was to write about Shakespeare. So, hand up. Write about what? About
I bet she was like, fuck, a British kid.
Yeah. Yeah, she was like, oh, don't worry about it, just half a page. I was like, no. What I'm asking is, what about, like, a specific play, a specific speech
motif
from a play, like, you know, a biography? Like, what do you want? Don't worry about it, just half a page, double spaced, about Shakespeare. And I went, I've made a mistake. Yeah. So, yeah.
Double spaced at university.
On half a page.
Yeah.
Is that like four sentences?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And I was like, I physically can't do that. I physically can't not keep writing. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then everything was like that.
Expecting you to get marked down for like overwriting.
Yeah. In the end, I had to take like loads of independent studies and just essentially write my own course and then just do it. So I didn't really then go to any classes. And I was like, I'm not seeing anyone, I'm not socialising because I don't know anyone here. Yeah, it was awful.
Did you find like because in a film, that this is the thing, the difference between life and films, is in a film you'd go to a bar and then there'd
be
all
many
the
times,
but were all the same people there, you'd effortlessly fit into the landscape, whereas in reality you just drink loads and end up in hospital.
That's pretty much what happened.
I've so many of those situations where, like, and I've got friends that it happens to as well. Like, I'm not saying this is good, but this is an awful story. But my friend, there's this kid who is really jammy, and this isn't a good example of his jamminess, but he was on a flight to Ibiza, and he was sat next to two of the members of So Solid Crew. And it's just like, but he's always got these stupid, ridiculous stories, but he's like, oh, I sat with the members of, and you're just like, how does this happen to you consistently? And I've never met anyone from
anyone from So Solid Crew.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're always 25 metres away from somebody. Apparently.
I got a flight to Amsterdam, sitting next to the guy from singer from Puddle of Mud. That was a good laugh.
Oh, well, the lead singer.
Yeah.
I used to love Puddle of Mud. We saw them at Download once, though, and they refused to do any of their old songs.
Yeah.
And we were like, why are you here then? And no one cares about your new music.
Well, the thing is, he's been in trouble with the police. He's had a lot of. So I was.
How long was this flight? It's only Amsterdam.
Yes, half an hour. So I was kind of like, most of the photos, if you Google his name now and go Google image, most of the recent photos are like mugshots. And like, I was sitting there, I was like, I kind of want to talk to you, but I'm also scared you're going to punch me. But he was nice, lovely guy.
Oh, that's lovely. Was he in normal class like the rest of us?
Yeah.
Royalties
aren't as good as what
he wasn't even touring.
I suppose it's how long's the flight as well. It's
half
like, who's, no one's nuts they for half an hour flight.
I don't think EasyJet do they?
I think some of them do, yeah. I think,
or is it just those seats at the front?
Yeah, I think there's it's normal seats, but there's a curtain.
Yeah, isn't it?
I don't think it's any different.
And the leg room.
Is there more leg room, is it?
Easy.
Flying is always going to suck, though. Whatever. Wherever.
Do you remember the
bit? I don't know,
bit?
It gets you places pretty fast. Yeah, that's a really good thing about it.
Do you remember the bit a while ago when they were looking at taking out
just all about
seats?
The
they were going to do standing flights.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Do you remember that? And then there was another thing as well. They were going to try and, was it make you pay for toilets? Or,
yeah, they did that for a while.
Did they? Yeah. And everyone was like, no, this is barbaric.
I will piss on the floor.
Yeah. But they were making people stand. They were going to take out a load of seats and do it a standing room only on some flights. And then
that's
everyone was
insane.
Like, that's just nonsense. Nobody is going to do that. That's ridiculous. And they didn't go through.
Well, imagine if it crashed. Surely that's breaking some rules if everyone's, like, just flying around. Like,
what if there's turbulence?
Yeah, like they'll have one of those things you hold on the tube.
Yeah.
Well, exactly, for turbulence, you have to wear your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Well,
otherwise, that's irrelevant.
And particularly if you hit really serious turbulence, like, you can be, like, properly thrown about in a plane. I mean, like, touch wood, it's never happened to me, but, like, you know, you hear stories about people who are like, well, I was very scared.
Yeah, I've had some pretty bad ones. Yeah.
On the way here, something happened to you, didn't it, Robin?
Yeah, mate, like, listen, when you were talking about that Puddle of Mud singer who gets us from the police, I was like, listen, I know how that feels. I got threatened with arrest literally on the way to this podcast.
I have invited a criminal to my home.
A hardened criminal into your home, I'm honestly.
I stole cereal and you
I'm
stole
their
a
TV.
Train ticket.
What happened, right?
Exactly. The boys from
that's
the noise
us.
Next door. The boys from the noise. Sorry,
yeah. So, like, in, obviously, Brighton trains are quite famed for being dog shit.
Yeah.
And I live in Preston Park, which is just sort of like a stop away from Brighton. It's like
It's like literally a 3-minute train journey. It's £2.80 for a single. So I went to pay for my ticket because I'm not actually a criminal, and I couldn't do it. The machine was like, no, not accepting cards. So I went up to the ticket office, also not accepting cards, and the guy had a little note that said, no tickets available at the moment. Sorry, technical problems. So I was like, oh, okay. So I spoke to the guy. I was like, I need to go to Brighton. I need to get this next train because I've got a thing. Like, what do I need to do? And he was like, oh, just get on it and pay in Brighton. I was like, cool, sounds fair. So that's what I did. Came to Brighton. Went to the barriers and explained the situation to the guy, and he was like, oh yeah, you need to go speak to those people over there. And there was just in the corner of Brighton Station, sort of a maybe like seven just various people in black jackets, and I went over and they were like, oh, that's £20 please. I was like, no, it's £2.80. And they're like, no, you're getting a penalty fare. And I was like, but why? And I got relatively I was relatively resolute about the fact that I wasn't paying this fine, because it felt to me like such a scam, because there were so many people on that platform who couldn't buy tickets and they were all with me, and it's just like, so what they've done is charge 10 times the fare, literally 10 times the fare. For the, and so I got really, really cross. Anyway, this one guy came up to me and was just such a little Jobsworth dick. Like, he was such a dick. And he was just going, no, it's £20 fine, £20 fine, £20 fine. I was like, I'm not paying it, man. Like, I'll buy a ticket. I'm happy to buy it. I wanted to buy a ticket. And he just wouldn't have it, wasn't having it. Issue with me with this fine. I was like, I'm not paying it. And eventually, he called over a British Transport police officer. And he went, this gentleman refuses to pay this fine. He'd already read me a caution, by the way. So I laughed in his face. I was like, are you arresting me? He was like, I do not have the power to do that. Like, no, you obviously don't have the power to do that.
What, a proper caution?
Yeah, like we may use this in court, all that stuff. Yeah. And anyway, British Transport Police comes over, and this little guy, that's really patronising, but he was a tiny little wanker, was like, I'd like you to detain this man, is what he used, detain this man, and issue him with a £1,000 fine under Section 15 of the so-and-so Act, whatever, and I'd like you to do that because he's refusing to pay the £20 fine. And so I was like, and so the guy went, right, okay, and like this, the British Transport Police officer was really good, to be fair. He took me to one side, he's like, man, I'm sorry, that guy's a dick. Literally out verbatim. And I was like, yeah, he is a dick. And he was like, I'm not going to arrest you, obviously, because you've not done anything wrong, but you are going to need to pay the £20 fine. And because he was nice, I was like, all right, I'll pay the fucking fine and I'll appeal it. But it cost me 20 quid to get it from press. But I mean, I'm appealing the dick off that fine. Like, believe me.
And what's so good about them at the moment is, because, and this is the only thing that anyone will ever say that's good about them, is they have a lot of people to pay back. So I don't think they have time.
Yeah,
to be fucking around with you.
Yeah, and like it just made me incensed because I tried to do the right thing. I tried.
This is the way they're going to get the money to pay people back, though, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the thing. Like, it felt like, I couldn't believe it, but it's such a scam. There were so many people with me who were like, but I couldn't buy a ticket. Wanted to. I couldn't do it.
Were there other people there as well?
Yeah, loads of people in Preston Park, and like maybe like six people, I guess, on that particular train, and we're just like, we couldn't buy tickets.
Did they all pay £20?
Yeah, we all had to pay
£20. That is ludicrous.
That
many people did that, and then they still went.
Yep.
Did you have to like sign a thing?
Yes, I had to sign like a little document. Because
that's happened to me before, and I always used to give a fake name.
Bloody always. Criminal mastermind strikes again.
It was always the same name, but it was a legit guy that I knew from primary school, and I still knew his address, and I would always just write his details.
The thing is, like, I have to, what was that guy's name?
Ian Godsmark.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope he's listening to this. Probably from his cell.
He's already been a benefactor for the podcast.
Walkington Avenue.
Ian Godsmark, who is now legally bankrupt because
so once we were in like a bit drunk and a bit high, and we got into some like,
what is this? Granola drugs, fucking hell.
I don't drink before you join. We were in like some private gardens that we kind of like jumped a fence to just go and hang out in and stuff or whatever. And we weren't like causing havoc, right? We were just having
some illegal drugs.
And then out of nowhere these police were like, they were like, oh god, no, and then so we just, what do we do? Oh god. And they're like, empty your bags. Oh no. And they made us like pour the booze away and stuff, because we were like 15, 16. And like, right, what's your name? Straight away. So I looked at my mate Pete, and I'm like, right, obviously we give fake names, but without saying that.
Yeah.
So I was like, Ian Godsmark. So right, yeah, he's writing all of this down. And he was like, right, I've got it. I've got to give a fake name. And so clearly in his mind, he just went to the next person he could think about. Bearing in mind, Pete looks like he's just a white dude. He had like long hair. And he just immediately went to his next friend that he could think of, which was, my name is Anurag Garg. And you're like, well, it's not, is it? You're not an Indian person. And he's like, and he just went, oh no! And just ran away. Just fully ran away. And the policeman just kind of just laughed and went, don't do this again. Pete's just sprinting away. It was so funny. I'm Andrew Agar. No, you're not.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to make sure that you can spell it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like number one.
Them's the rules.
My friend gave... it was in almost the same situation. And I gave my normal name because I was just like, oh, fuck it. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's... this is so pathetic that I'm sure it won't go anywhere. And then my friend was like, Edward D'Souza. And the guy was like, how do you spell that? And I could tell that he was just like working it out in his mind as he was like, DS, sort of EUS. I know there's a U in there. But he just tried to rip it. Like, he did do it all right. And they were like, three S's. And he was like, yep. And I was like, yeah, that was the end of it. But, like, yeah. And in all fairness, it worked.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, they would let me out of like the area in front of the barrier without paying this fine. So like they were just like, you're not going anywhere to pay it. I'm like, for fuck's sake. What I wish I'd have done is imagine if I literally had the exact change for it. I wish I had cash.
Yeah.
I wish I had that, and I'd be like, I haven't got any cards with me.
Mm-hmm. That's like, literally that's happened to me before with that exact fine. I refused to pay it, and they were like, you have to pay. And we'll send it to your house. I gave you in Godsmack's address.
Was that recently?
No, that was about 10 years ago.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, so basically, Thameslink, go via Thameslink, can suck my dick, mate. I'm livid about it. So angry.
So that would be Ian Godsmack's parents' address, will it?
If they're still there, yeah.
You must be responsible with the,
yeah.
for the yeah, rift they... between him and his father. Stop lying, Ian.
It was
sent to the house.
Yeah, oh yeah.
His parents are divorced now, all because of you.
Oh, no.
He got marks in prison.
Yeah. Oh no.
But stuff happens all the time where you go, someone's fucking screwed me over here. Like, when I worked in a really depressing office for like 6 years, someone grassed me up because they put England flag, the St. George's Cross all over everything on it for an England game. And I was like, oh, it looks a bit racist in the office today. And then someone grassed me up for that. And I was like, who would grass someone up for that? But people really...
What, for saying it looks a bit racist?
Yeah.
Oh, God's sake.
I love office joke. Politics. When I used to have a real job, I used to love all that stuff. One time, my colleague Hannah, like I had like one friend in this office I worked in. It was in like an establishment that is like it was a real cultural establishment. It should have been like an amazing, really inspiring, cool place to work. It wasn't. It was awful. And like I had this one friend Hannah who just used to really like we used to wind each other up quite a lot, like friendly, like kind of taking the piss and stuff. And one time she printed off. There was like 60 desks in this office. She printed off 60 pictures of my face and stuck every one on every single computer in the office. And then the director was like, well, obviously, Robin, you've done this. I was like, no, I've been played. I've been played so well, but I have been played. It was all my acting headshots as well. Like different like versions.
You
so
that?
Good, though.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
I got
so obviously not you.
I got really shouted. I also got shouted out from the whole office for that. And Hannah was just it's sitting like in the corner like, hee. Yeah, it was very funny.
I remember like
so I killed her.
Only natural words.
I
remember doing a comedy competition and I didn't realise that they'd been taking like photos of the gig and like there was like a headshot or something like that, and I didn't realise that. Someone at work told me they'd seen me on Google and the website where to find it, so I started Googling it. I found it, and then someone behind me that was not privy to that conversation went shouting out loud, oh my god, Alex is just googling himself on his lunch.
and there's not much evidence to say otherwise.
Yes, I am.
there's context.
Yeah.
I think it's time for our feature, which is Plots That About. Plots that a plots, that a plots, that a plots,
that a plots, that a plots, that a Plus that about. Here we go, ready? Okay. Plus that about, Sam. Plus that about now. It's about a plot. Finest minds in improv, that.
Gold.
It's better than our actual jingle. So, I will get... Normally, it's a head-to-head.
Okay.
This is the first time we've ever had two guests.
Ooh.
So, it's now a triple header. You're all in direct competition with each other.
Okay.
All
right.
So, I will give each of you a different film title each. And each of these films is real.
Ooh.
And you've got to tell me your plot for the film.
Are we actually trying to get it? Or are we trying
to
get
the
most creative?
Most creative. And then whoever's in it and all that sort of stuff. And at the end, Jade will decide which of the three films she would most like to see.
Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
And I will reveal what the real films are about at the end.
Yeah, good. Okay.
And you can also say who played people.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
Okay.
I just like doing that, you know.
But then they're always really weird people.
No, they're not. Anyway, my film, please.
Right, okay. So, Joe, yours is Monkey Shines.
Monkey Shines. It's a coming-of-age film about a teenage boy. It's classic teenage boy set in a white picket fence town in America, obviously. Sorry, that took me ages. Where's that place that they're all from? You know, big country. But it's so basically, obviously, it's a coming of age film, so nothing happens for about the first 35 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're 35 minutes in now.
Okay.
And the main character is a little boy who is 14, coming of age. So he's called Jason.
Okay.
And Jason is played by...
you can't say Haley Joel
Osment. Yes, Haley Joel Osment has been big in my last 17 films. So no, he is played by Keanu Reeves, and no one mentions it.
But so Keanu Reeves now playing a 14-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Keanu Reeves now, but he wears like well, actually, this T-shirt. But like, just, you know, he looks like a kid, but no one mentions it. Just stop bringing it up.
Okay.
And then his mum is the woman who is in the she was in I, Tonya. And do you know the mum from I, Tonya is really aggressive?
I don't know what I, Tonya.
People would... You don't know what I, Tonya is? No. It's a great film. Not like the one that I'm describing right now. But yeah, so she's like really hard on him. You just Google it. She's really hard on him, and she wants him to be the best gecko collector. There you can be. So she keeps buying him geckos, and he's like, "Mom, I don't want to do gecko collecting." Like, and then she'll just buy them, and then there'll be stacks of them in the room.
Stacks of geckos.
Stacks of geckos.
Right, okay.
All over the place.
Live geckos.
Live geckos. They're in little hutches. They're in little
like rabbit hutches.
Yeah. So stacked up on the side, then his bed's in the middle, and then underneath he has a container full of flies, which, you know, personally is rank, but if he wants to live that way.
Yeah.
So he has a crush on a girl who lives across town over the other side of the tracks.
Oh no.
And all she wants to do is ride a bicycle. So it's not like a big dream, but it's been her dream. But she's from the wrong side of the tracks, so she can't afford a bicycle. And he's got all these geckos. So he says to his mum, Can I sell some geckos to pay for my friend Caitlin? That's her name. She's played by Brittany Murphy. God rest her soul. Some things. And she's like, "No, I bought you those geckos." That doesn't sound like the actress for a reason. And you're going to become the person with the most geckos. And then he starts sneaking geckos out of his house.
Yeah, yeah, one by one.
One by one in his trousers. And then taking them to school and putting them in this cupboard. And basically what happens in the end is that they all die and he learns about death. Monkey Shines.
If that was the synopsis on Netflix, I probably wouldn't watch it. I don't know, I'd be bizarrely interested.
It was, yeah.
I'm not really sure what it has to
it's
do with Monkey Shines.
Granted.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Yeah,
but it's a coming of age film, so nothing has to happen.
Right, okay. But by the end of the film, he is of age.
He is of age.
Yeah,
and he's got loads of dead geckos.
Yeah,
like we all have in a way.
Well, we are. you know that well-known phrase. Bet you've got some geckos in your closet.
Yeah,
that well-known phrase. Yeah.
Right, Robin.
I think, just to let you know, I think that's probably the worst one I've ever done.
You're not wrong. Right, okay. If you have heard of this film before, let me know and we'll think of a different one. But your one is Underdog.
I haven't heard of that film before. But what it is... Oh, yeah, okay. So, set in Iran.
Ooh, nice.
Okay. Yeah, set in Iran.
Sundance?
No, old-timey Iran.
Right.
Okay, it's about just this kid. He lives on the streets. He's... he's a real, like, he's just an underdog. That's what he is, to be honest, mate. And he needs to eat, and he can't eat because he's so poor. He's got nothing. So he runs around and he steals food from all of the street vendors. And but they quite like him. Like, he's cheeky, but like you got my food again. So anyway, one day he goes out into the desert, and when he's out in the desert, he finds a. Just really, oh, it's a magic shoe. It's a magic shoe he finds. He finds his magic shoe, and he puts on the magic shoe, and then from out of the magic shoe comes a snake. Just this big snake comes out, this magic snake, and the magic snake says, listen, I'll sort you out, I'll do you a favour, right? It's not a wish, it's a favour. And he says, he says, yeah, wicked. What sort of favors are you talking? He's like, he does a song, but I don't know the song. And then the snake, so he asks, like, listen, I'd really like to have loads and loads of money. So the snake transports him just like that, bang. Suddenly, he's in Hollywood, right? Hollywood. He's not in Iran anymore. He's still got his, like, Iranian clothes and sort of, like, you know, his Iranian language. I don't speak any English, but he's in Hollywood now. And he moves into, or he's played by, the weird kid from The End of the Fucking World, you know the one? Like the psychopath guy, do you know the one I mean? He's played by him, and he plays it exactly the same as that. So even though, like, all the Iranian people back in the village are like, oh, he's so cheeky, I love him. He's just weird and, like, really, really distant. But they think he's really cheeky and kooky.
Is it the voice of the snake?
The voice of the snake was, oh, let me tell you, it was Helen Mirren. It was Helen Mirren doing the voice of Snake. So he gets to Hollywood, and like, people in Hollywood, like, they're like really interested in him because, like, he's an immigrant, and that's really like a focal point of the film. And he's working really hard to try and get places but he just keeps stealing things because that's what he's always known. But he steals and steals. He steals so much that he becomes really, really rich. He actually gets a job for a bit as Kanye West's chauffeur, but unknown to Kanye, he doesn't actually have a driving license, and there's a really good comedy montage there about him driving Kanye West around Hollywood. Anyway, one day he's stole so much money he can go back to Iran to visit his family. So he goes back to Iran with the snake still there. He's had the snake with him the whole time, and the one shoe on. And he gets back to Iran, and his parents are like, oh, you came back, have you had a nice time? And he was like, yeah, I had a really nice time being a big shot in America, but to be honest, Mum, I prefer being here and being an underdog. Credits.
Credits.
And that's it. And the soundtrack, by the way, is written exclusively by Jamie Foxx.
Wow.
It's really good.
Does Kanye West play himself?
No, he doesn't. No. Kanye West is actually played by Rowan Atkinson.
That's obvious.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian's in it though. Yeah. Kim is in it. But as Kim Kardashian's in it as Rowan Atkinson, Kanye West's lover, because she, you know, let's not be completely unrealistic
what?
About this.
She plays Rowan Atkinson.
No.
I like that. Rowan Atkinson's in it as Kanye, but Kim is in it. As Rowan Atkinson. Well, that would have been a
really good casting decision, but unfortunately that wasn't made at the time. No. Kanye, Kim is in it as Kim. Yeah. Rowan Atkinson is in it as Kanye. Makes Helen sense. Mirren, that kid from End of the Fucking World. Hmm. And there's a
cast.
Cameo from
you.
Me, but also Jason Statham. That's my film.
I love how it's favour over wish. It's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
the Disney lawyers got involved.
Well, I was, I'm not gonna lie, at the start, I was describing Aladdin.
Yeah.
And after I realised that, I was like, oh, I should stop this. But actually, when he's in Hollywood, he does meet the famous Princess Heather, who he loves. Princess Heather, she's great. She's got like a pet cat.
Right, Sam, your film. I hope you haven't seen this one.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top.
As I'm sure you're all aware, this is a Norwegian crime drama.
Very much
it
so.
Is,
no.
Starring all of the Skarsgård family. it's like an indie house film that they made just with their own new production company. Stellan Skarsgård is a detective, and something has gone wrong at the circus.
That bloody circus.
Yes, it's all shot in black and white. It's very it's very moody. It's very dark. In fact, there is 10 minutes where it's only shot in black. so you don't, you can't see anything. That's my favourite scene of the film, actually. Yeah. You know that there's loads of animals there. Loads, you can hear them all, but you can't see any of them, which, to be fair, probably made it cheaper to make. I reckon that's why. Plot-wise, somebody has committed a crime at the circus. Have you seen Murder on the Orient Express?
Yeah.
It's like that, but in Norwegian, in a circus.
Ooh.
Not a train. All he knows is that one of the animals has committed the murder. Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned that. Presumably, one of the animals has killed the ringmaster.
Are the animals just normal animals, or do they talk?
No, they don't talk,
no.
Which makes interviewing them really difficult. Yeah.
Just to be clear, the animals in the film, you said it's sort of like an indie thing, and the animals in the film, are they real animals, or are they all like pantomime horse versions of their animals?
No, they're real animals,
okay.
but they've, as I said, the budget was small. So it's not like an elephant playing an elephant, because it's difficult to hire an elephant, it's expensive. So it's animals that you can afford.
Right, okay.
So like the elephant is played by a swan because of their kind of neck trunk.
Do they paint their wings grey?
They don't paint. It's a bit animal cruelty.
Oh yeah, that's it.
They just cover them in grey felt
with a hot glue gun.
That's obviously a cat plays a tiger,
obviously.
A dog plays a wolf,
obviously.
All these classic things.
Wolf's famous for their circus.
Yeah, well, this is it. That's why the wolf is the most suspicious. Straight off the bat, you're thinking this wolf is the one. It's obvious, but actually, the wolf was just trying to make a decent living for his pack.
So the wolf is very much the Professor Snape of the film.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You think it's gonna be. It's not. I mean, do you want me to ruin it for you? I'll tell you.
I don't think that any of us are going to be able to live the rest of our lives without knowing now.
It turns out it was all of them. I literally told you it was like Murder on the Orient Express.
So you said the wolf was just trying to make a decent living, but he wasn't. He was in on it the whole time.
Yeah.
Bloody
hell.
But
he made loads of money out of it. So.
It's excellent.
Wow.
Really excellent. I'm assuming Oscar.
Who plays the detective?
Stellan Skarsgård is the
detective.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
Is there anyone is there any humans in the film that aren't part of the Skarsgård family?
No.
No.
No, solely. Yeah, yeah. So the ringmaster, who you do see many times in flashback, is Gustav Skarsgård.
Okay.
Guy from Vikings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then his wife, who is still alive, is played by Alexander Skarsgård, who is like in a cross-dressing role. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a really good film.
Any of the animals, they're just pets of the Skarsgård family?
Pets and animals from the local petting zoo.
Pets and associates.
Yeah.
The swan
wasn't a pet, yeah.
Yeah.
They found that by the lake.
Just a neighbour.
There's a couple of sheep in it. They play somebody Crowl, actually, because they couldn't get actual human space. It's cheaper to play sheep. It's really dark.
It's like a commuter trace in the sheep reading the newspaper in the background.
Exactly. Very well trained. Very well trained. But yeah, it's really dark. It's really gritty. As I said, yeah, black and white.
10 minutes of pure just black screen.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. There's also, yeah, just grey screen as well.
Great.
Which is later on.
Bet it does well at Cannes Festival.
It will win everything.
Tip for big things. Right, wow. Over to you, Jade.
Right, okay, so what have we got? So we started with Monkey
Pretty
Shine.
Pretty confident.
Joe, seeing as you never won, and I said to Joe the other day, I was like, oh, you're going to be doing it against improvisers. Like, this is going to be one where you might not win.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely win. Is Keanu Reeves playing Jason as an adult, but he's a kid, or is this like back in the day, this
he
film?
He is playing a little boy. But no one mentions it.
But is he? So it's film like now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's freaky.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's weirdly improved it for me.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like I wasn't the only one that was a bit confused about how geckos can be stacked up on top of each other.
Use your minds. You're all creative.
You clarified a lot with the hutch system.
Yeah.
I was worried for a while, but I've seen a stack of rabbit hutches. I can imagine that. Yeah, yeah.
Can just about stretch my imagination to imagine that joke.
Maybe I threw it away. Maybe I was nervous.
Slowly, our friendship is being broken down by this bloody game.
Didn't I win one?
Yeah, against me.
Yeah, against Alex.
Oh,
doesn't really count.
You said that like it was just not an effort. You and me, you idiot. I'm garbage.
No, but it was good. I love a coming of age film. So that was good. and I like Brittany Murphy, so that's really cool. And I like the fact it didn't have it, because I know I always go on about how it never like links with the name. Well, today that was a good thing. That was good. Still on one, but that was good. Underdog, it was really, well, I mean, it started off, I did write here, a bit like Aladdin.
Yeah, but that's to take the audience on a journey.
Exactly, yeah. It starts off one way and then it twists around.
Mixed with Cobblers, have you ever seen that?
No.
Adam Sandler film where he has magic shoes. then, like, whenever you wear a pair of shoes, you become the person that used to own those shoes.
Wicked.
It is terrible.
He has done
another bit of gold from Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the magic shoe and the magic snake as well, especially the fact that it was voiced by Helen Mirren. That's pretty cool. And also I liked the twist that it was started in Iran, but the main guy was the guy from the weird guy from End of the Fucking World.
Yeah.
Who is very good, and it made it more, gave it more layers, the fact that they all thought of him as a cheeky kid when he was really this like creepy guy. So that was, I really liked it, and I liked the fact at the end it all came round to being an underdog.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice. Over the top, what have I got here?
So much.
Yeah, I mean, I love actually one of my favourite things on murder mysteries, so that was pretty good. I love murder mysteries. I like that how they were all linked up. I like the fact that they were animals but not played by the actual animal.
It's really another art house.
Yeah, very, very deep messages in there, especially that along with the whole scene in black.
Because, you know, like actors aren't playing themselves in films, are they?
Exactly.
So an elephant
can't
play himself.
That's true, mate. You want to have an acting
elephant.
It
shows acting range for the swan to play the
elephant.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. All these animals have wanted is a chance to play a different animal, and you've given them that chance. Yeah.
Equal rights.
So I'm going to say, with this, just because of the fact that one of my favourite type of TV and films are murder mysteries. Sam, you won.
Yes,
that is absolutely.
I'm very happy.
That is unbelievable.
There is a small caveat to this. This in that this is essentially a game in our tour.
Yeah, there
our
is.
Our brand new tour. and you've already invented it before we
actually.
Yeah. And then we give a much shorter description, like a very brief synopsis, like a paragraph, and then if the director likes it, we then act out the film.
That's cool.
Well, I mean, that's slightly more impressive than what we've just done, to be honest.
Believe me, it fucking is.
I love how I watched that game, and at no point did I go, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
You see lots of them in very quick succession. So
yeah.
Loads of films,
Congratulations on winning Slots That's About.
Is there a prize?
Good question.
I'm fucking livid. I'm so angry.
Tell me about it.
Helen Mirren. Helen bloody Mirren.
I want to hear Helen Mirren go, I'll give you a favour.
It's not a wish, it's a favour.
We'll think of a prize. It might be like a Kinder egg or something.
Oh, I'll take that.
Right, the real films. Monkey Shines. Athlete Alan has a horrific accident and his friend...
Alan the athlete.
And his friend Jeffrey, to help him out, hires him a monkey butler called Ella.
This sounds like something that I could have made up.
And during the film, Alan falls in love with someone called Melanie.
Oh, I thought you were saying with the monkey.
Well, wait.
Oh, okay.
The monkey becomes psychotic and jealous and it descends into chaos.
Wow.
Oh, what? So the monkey's like a bastard?
The monkey's called the monkey's called Ella, his love interest is called Melanie, and Ella's jealous of Melanie.
Not enough Melanies these days.
No,
I'm just
throwing
out there.
Especially
90s monkey
butler
the
films.
Underdog. Well, this is someone else's film. While imprisoned in the lab of a mad scientist. And
which, by the way, is an unbelievable opening sentence.
In the lab of a classic. An ordinary beagle accidentally gains superpowers.
This is quite famous in America.
The theme tune's quite famous. I have seen this film,
Underdog.
And he becomes a superhero called Underdog.
Unbelievable news. I wasn't far off. I think we all agree.
I took my little brother to see this, and after the credits we both realised that we were both too old to be there. We're then committed to the next 2 hours. We're like, that was good. Yeah.
Over the top.
Mm.
A tale in which a truck driver with a lucrative sideline career as an arm wrestling champion takes his estranged 12-year-old son on the road to the arm wrestling championships. However, his unfeeling grandfather has sent thugs on their trail to put a stop to this bond.
God.
I
want a
lucrative side business as an arm wrestler. That just doesn't sound lucrative to me.
Also, I can't believe it's a side business. That should be your main hustle.
Well, he's on the way to the championships in Vegas. And the main character's played by Sylvester Stallone.
Oh. Amazing.
That actually sounds really good.
The poster of the film is... It's him arm wrestling someone that's clearly like 3 times the size of him. But I'm guessing it's like... I've not seen the film, but I'm guessing there's some sort of... underdog story of
where
he's clearly about to lose and he hulks out saying and wins.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that sounds like Sylvester.
No, I'm not going to watch that film.
Well, congratulations again, Sam.
Thank you so much.
What's that about?
So, Sam,
yeah,
tell us about your honeymoon.
Oh, yeah. I went to Mexico for a week with my wife.
Yes.
And then... we went on Chris Jericho's wrestling cruise and it was awesome. So I'm a big wrestling fan and Charlotte had never watched wrestling in any capacity until she met me. However, I've drip fed her little bits here and there. I've got her into it via Total Divas and Total Bellas, which is like Made in Chelsea but with wrestling. And she loves like the E channel, entertainment channel, is on all the time, so she's watching it a little bit. Anyway, so I jokingly suggested that we go on this cruise when it first got announced, and I was like, yeah, that'd be funny for honeymoon, genuinely as a joke. And then she was like, yeah, and so I booked it half an hour later. So I was like, you can't go back on it, you said. But it was awesome. Like, she's always wanted to do a cruise, but you know, the worry is a little bit sometimes it's like, there's lots of old people. Is it actually for people our age? But this was great. It was just everyone. It was like a Comic-Con for people who like wrestling. There was just so much to do. There was for like 5-6 hours of wrestling every day, as well as signings and podcasts and like stand-up shows, and then loads of bands. So it was like it was called the Rock and Wrestling Rager. So it was about rock music as well. And it was just and you're in the Bahamas.
Amazing.
It was so good. And like everyone was just so... The excitement level, because it's never been done before. No one's ever wrestled on a boat before. So the excitement levels of the wrestlers as well as the punters was just so high. Like, I was in a queue to get a drink after the wrestling had started, and this guy was next to me and he just kind of whispered, "This is amazing." I was like, "Yeah, it is, man." He was like, "Where are you from?" I was like, I'm from England. "You've come here for this?" "Yeah." "That's amazing." "Oh, let me buy you a drink." "Okay, cool." And I just went, "Oh, I'm on my honeymoon as well." "No." "No, let me buy your wife a drink." Everyone was just so happy to be there. Yeah. It just made the experience incredible.
How many people were how,
there was like 2,200 people.
Fucking hell, so it's huge.
Yeah,
and
it's
where was
big,
the
yeah.
where it was a proper cruise ship.
Yeah, it's
a
bit like, they literally hired a cruise ship, like chartered
a
full
a big,
cruise ship, chuck everyone off. In fact, this is what was amazing. They didn't even chuck everyone off who'd already booked like a world cruise or whatever. So there was a couple of residents, like older ladies who live on it, like, as you know, because it's a lot of time it's cheaper than like a nursing home or whatever.
Yeah.
So they live there. So I thought we were having lunch, and I was like, "Who are these two old women?" I thought, "Oh, maybe they're mums of wrestlers or something."
Yeah.
And they live there, and they were like, "Yeah, we have no idea what's going on." Like, it's loud. Like, one of the headliners for the music was Corey Taylor from Slipknot, and like, I just pictured these.
Great.
It was awesome. And they just picture these two old ladies going, like, listening to like Slipknot song, going.
I've got to say that I am deeply hurt.
What?
About this conversation that's just happened.
What?
Because that wasn't your only honeymoon that you went on this year, was it, mate? Straight
yes.
after Sam.
Right.
No,
right.
We went on a honeymoon together. Let's not fuck about.
Mini-moon.
The week after Sam's wedding, he went on a honeymoon.
A mini moon.
And a mini moon, and had like, oh, a lovely little cottage in Lincolnshire, and then they, you know, a trip to Manchester. And for 4 of those 5 days, me and Tom from The Noise Next Door were with them. It was amazing. Sam and Charlotte had hired this amazing Airbnb in a village in Lincolnshire. One day after they got there, we rocked up with all our bags because we had to gig. So it's nice,
right,
to see, mate.
Yeah. And it was, so they did. They did you know about that beforehand? Or
yeah. Like, Charlotte's
okay.
Very forgiving. But yeah, we had a couple of days in this house, and then we had to gig one of the nights as well, and then it was just made sense for them to stay in the same house.
Well, that sounds good.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
And like we kept referring to it as, oh, it's nice to be on our honeymoon, isn't it? Nice. And there's this amazing picture from we went for a trip to like a country home, like a National Trust sort of property type thing.
Where they filmed Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, they filmed Pride and Prejudice, that's very nice. And there's this beautiful picture of Sam and Charlotte just by the lavender. It's really, really nice, like sort of like newlyweds. But then right in the background, really, really small, there's just me and Tom waving at the camera. And it's my favourite picture I've ever taken with the boys next door. It's so good.
So the joke was that they were then going to, well, we'll obviously see you on the cruise.
Yeah,
so you've got to come on your other honeymoon. And I
joke
was goading them into doing
it.
This is it. I was like, sure, there's a couple of rooms left. You go for it. And Charlotte was like, don't say that, because if they actually do turn up, I was like, they're not going to turn up. I have to fly. Like,
we were unbelievably close, though, to going to Gatwick. We were unbelievably close. It's only like half an hour drive. We were like, for the sake of the bit, it is funny.
Oh, as the joke, just to pretend.
Yeah, like with our bags, like straw hats, like ready to go, so I'll meet them at Gatwick. We'd have told Sam, but we weren't going to tell Charlotte. And we just thought that would have been very, just for her response, that would have been unbelievable.
You shouldn't have told me. That would have been really funny.
Yeah, but we didn't because sleeping. We wanted to sleep. Literally, I think the reason we didn't do that is because you flew quite early, didn't you?
Mm.
And we weren't up for it. It was like 10 a.m. We'd have been there.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
But yeah, the actual cruise part was really really. I would definitely suggest it for anyone who's ever liked wrestling. It's quite cheap as well.
They're massive in America, these cruises now, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got them for like. So in fact, we were the company that scheduled all of it. Run like four in a row, so. We got on just as the country cruise was getting off. So yeah,
I'd love that
whole fall and stuff. Then we got on, and then as we were getting off, the Kiss cruise was going. So it was just a purely.
So there's loads of so the Impractical Jokers one,
and then
the
Impractical Jokers. Yeah, two of the Impractical Jokers were on this one as well as like kind of guests.
It's just very American thing. It just wouldn't work. Thing like Southampton to Dover.
Exactly. where are you going to go? Do you know what I mean? The west coast of France. It's not as good as like. That's the great thing about Miami. Like, they're already talking about doing another cruise. So, and they asked, they sent a questionnaire out about like, hey, where would you want to dock next time if you do it? And there's so many options because the Caribbean is just there, and it's like going to the Channel Islands from here. You know, it's Bahamas or Jamaica.
Yeah.
Or Dominican
Republic.
If
you offer me like
Rica,
Antigua or Jersey.
No, I know. In terms of distance, like
everything's
so close.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, hopefully they're going to do another one, and I'm already prodding Charlotte.
I'll come.
Well, this is the other thing. Yeah, like actually, like because it was great, and she loved all of it. But it would also be cool to do it with like other wrestling nerds. Well, saying that, like there were so many wrestling nerds everywhere. And Charlotte normally, she's like, oh, normally when I'm looking for you in a crowd, I look for a hat and a beard. And then at the buffet, she was like, everyone has a hat and a beard. She was like, I'll walk around for 10 minutes. I sat next to like two different people. Really fun.
We should really do an English version. Just noise next door like a canal boat.
Oh, it would be so, like doing a comedy festival.
Yeah.
An actual comedy. Like, because they used to do something similar. They used to it wasn't a cruise, obviously. It was like a canal barge that would sail from London to Edinburgh for the festival. And it would be like a little festival on the boat. Just gigs every night.
Oh,
and
wow.
That would take you up. So it would take like 3 or 4 days. But yeah, something like
that.
That
must take fucking ages.
A few days. And I assume they stopped doing it because it was just not working. a full comedy festival on a cruise would be like a proper one.
Also, if you were with the people that you were going to then live with in Edinburgh,
unbelievable. Well, it's mental. Like the amount you spend time together. Like we work together, so we see each other for gigs 5 times a week, and we drive for 40 hours a week together or whatever, and then we had like 4 days off this week, and we decided to go on holiday all 4 of us together to Barcelona. And we were sitting there, we're like, what is, we have other friends, why have we why have we done this to each other?
There were 3 additional people there as well,
okay,
good, there are some other people.
Just to find out some stuff about
Tell me a story I've not heard before, please.
That's the other thing. Like, so Robin joined like a year and a bit ago.
Yeah, I'm
and so
new.
It was just really very new, and it was just a it was really fun because like we could tell them our stories again. And then like, so I'd be telling a story. You've got like Tom going, oh, I've heard this so many times. And we're like, oh, but someone new to tell a story to. Silly.
Right, plug section. So you guys are off on tour tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, unbelievable that really. Yeah, we're doing. I think it's about like 85 dates now across. The next 10 months, something like that. So plus then like we're gigging sort of on the circuit as per, but then we're doing a brand new tour. It's called Remix, and it's brand new. So anybody who's ever seen anything that Noise have done before will have never seen anything that we're playing in this show. So that's good. There's a few new, like, sort of really fun, I hope really fun new mechanics of things that we've decided that we're going to give a go. And yeah, so we're doing sort of theatres and art centres literally from, well, all over the country. So anywhere, hopefully. We're still trying to get Scotland under wraps, but it's kind of difficult because theatres in Scotland are harder to get to. So got to make it worthwhile, really. But we're doing lots in England and Wales and stuff. So yeah, all over, really.
And what's your Twitters?
I don't know what.
Well, the Noise Next Door Twitter is just at Noise Next Door. I'm on at Orange Next Door.
And I'm at Red Next Door.
Yeah, I can see what we did there.
yeah, all the links and stuff to the tour are at thenoisenextdoor.com.
Yep.
And you can get tickets from there.
Go see them on tour.
Yes, please.
Yeah, please come to Worthing particularly. we sold out. We booked for a small room in Worthing. It's like 150 seats, and we sold out before we announced it. So they were like, amazing, like, let's move you to the big room. And we were like, yeah, let's move to the big room. And we sold really well in there, but there are still like 100 tickets left. So please just come to Worthing, yeah? That'd be really nice to see you there.
Worthing. What's the date?
Worthing.
You know,
yeah, it's the 9th of February.
Perfect.
9th of February in Worthing.
Welcome.
Come along. Come along.
Joe, I noticed you went to get your phone. Does that mean you have prepared a plug?
No.
Joes are normally quite ramshackle.
Okay.
Unbelievably so. No, I have things that I'm actually sort of doing, which means that I can now plug them. I am at Angel Comedy on the 8th of February. I'm at Top Secret. If you're in London and you want to fuck up the night before Valentine's Day and then Valentine's Day, I'll be at Top Secret Comedy Club the 13th and the 14th of February. It'd be nice to see people, but you know, I know people's, you know, I'm just gonna go, this is why it goes wrong. I obviously know people have a lot on, you know, I'm not the most important guy. I'm also in Angel the 6th of April, and then I mean, even whenever I'm doing this, I'm always like, hey, I'm going on holiday, because I'm just looking at my phone. Hey, I'm not going anywhere with you because I'll be away. So that's it. That's my only, I don't have, that's it.
Perfect.
Good. All right.
I'll be doing Sean McLaughlin's gig in Camden on the Sunday 17th of February, and I'll also be doing Outside the Box in Kingston on the 25th of February. I've got other gigs coming up later in the year, but you know, we'll probably do another podcast before then.
Well, hopefully.
Someone's a bit arrogant.
Jade, anything you want to plug?
No, just as always, I have another podcast called Musical Chairs, where me and comedian Jen Ives watch a musical and then we talk about it afterwards. So
cool.
Find that.
What's the next one?
The next one is an old Fred Astaire one called The Royal Wedding.
Ooh.
Which is like...
topical.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, we watched it not long after the Harry and Meghan wedding. I haven't edited it for a while, so it's been a bit slow.
What ones have you done so far so people know what to look out for?
We've done Chicago. We did Singing in the Rain. We did... Rock of Ages, which was shit, but we do really shit. We're going to do Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and we're going to do Wizard of Oz as well, and a few others before the end of the series.
Is six on the list?
Six.
I don't know.
Brand
new.
Yeah.
Hold the
film,
bloody.
It's
oh, it's not. No, it is a live one. But,
oh, okay. But
I mean, listen, go and see it.
I've never even heard of it.
It's so good.
It's
really
about the
brilliant
wives of Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
it's good. It's so
ooh
good. It was in Edinburgh this last year, and then has now just got like just it just won Edinburgh, didn't it? It's got like West
yeah
End transfer and all the transfers and the tours and stuff.
Oh,
and it's
amazing.
Brilliant.
Nice.
So if anyone gets a chance to see that, you should absolutely go.
I'll
let me plug in a thing
so
that's nothing to do with us.
One final plug from us. Me and Joe have been asked onto another podcast, and me and Joe will be going on a Star Trek podcast under the full disclosure that we have never seen Star Trek, and that is why they've asked us. So we'll let you know when we're on that.
So
it's
we'll let you know. It's called
Spotlight.
So we will be ruining. when is that?
Oh, it hasn't been booked in
we
yet.
Don't
but we'll let you know. Right, I think that's everything from us. So I've been Alex Petrovich. That's been Joe Foster.
Yes.
Jade, Gebby.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm pointing, no one can see this. And thank you very much, Sam and Robin.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
See you.